Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Niang from Durrell, lob for Wade, deflected away by Pajemski. Made a good hustle play to get back into it. Moody goes behind the back, leaving Jerome aside, goes up over. Mobley somehow squeezed that up and in a spectacular basket by Moses Moody.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back to Warriors This Week. It's Cam Williams, it's Sterling Bennett, it's Dan DeVoe. The final hour of the show, the Warriors still licking their wounds after losing for just the second time this year as they get blown out by the Cleveland Cavaliers in a game in which they were never in. The Cavaliers nailing 14 threes and amassing more than 80 points and a half as this thing was pretty much done midway through that second quarter as they ran away. And, well, they hid for a little while, but as we had talked about, the Warriors able to walk them down with that bench and lose it by a respectable, and it's respectable comparatively speaking, they lose by 19, and when you were down by as many as 50, you'll take the 19-point loss as now they get ready for Oklahoma City. The Thunder come into this game as one of the better teams in the NBA, a team that is obviously young, a green a year ago, but then I think that the year of experience and getting bounced in the postseason last year just makes this team now not only young and more experienced, but also having a little attitude and swagger. And Chet Holmgren, they told him to do two things, Sterling, over the offseason. Go have, you know, a couple of Happy Meals and shove down some burritos down your gullet at 3 in the morning and put some weight on. And also, we want you to address the defensive side of the ball and be more of defensive presence, and that's exactly what he's done. Chet Holmgren now is a guy that is looking to rim protect. He's a guy that is a much more of a defensive sort of presence now in basketball games than he was previously in his career, which spans over, what, 2 years now. And as good as Oklahoma is with Jay Will and SGA and all these boys that can score the basketball, while the Warriors are number two in the NBA, one of the biggest surprises as the number two rated defense in the NBA, it is no surprise that OKC is number one overall defensively. Just really quick, how are you sort of handicapping and how do you see things going down tomorrow as they finish this five-game road trip against one of the better teams in the NBA, that young, talented OKC squad? We leave Sterling again out there on the red planet, Cam. So that's what happens when you're... Oh, no, you're there.
I'm here.
Okay.
It's a game that I do think can go one of two ways for Golden State. It can be very much like that Boston Celtics game where they play good defense, they smother Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and they do what's right. They do the necessary things. They hit their threes. You get a bounce-back night from Buddy Hield and company alongside Stephen Curry, and you feel pretty good. But I do think that tomorrow night can be very much like the Cavaliers game, where if Steve Kerr goes back to Gary Payton II, and you have a team like OKC that can play offense and defense extremely well, They got Lu Dort out there playing good defense. Jalen Williams is coming into his own this year, averaging 19 points. Aaron Wiggins is getting you 10. Again, Lu Dort's also getting you 10. Like, this team plays, arguably, the prettiest basketball in the entire NBA for the duration of games. Like, they are, I think, the top dog in the NBA as a whole. I put them above everybody else, honestly. They're young, they're fast, they're smart, they're quick, and they're aggressive, and they're smothering and what they can do. So,
also deep, Sterling. The Warriors are deep, yes. But this team is also deep.
Yes, they have. It feels like, you know, we talk about the Golden State Warriors playing 12, 13 guys. You know, a few of those rotational pieces, you're kind of like, that's a weak link. It's very hard to find weak links with the OKC Thunder. They are that deep and that good, and they've been pretty deep for a long time. They've just been young, and it seems like after losing in the playoffs last year, they've got that grit, and they've kind of come into their own this season. I know when it's all said and done, who knows what it'll come out to for them this year, but it's a game I have a hard time believing the Golden State Warriors win, but again, it's about sometimes how you win or how you lose, not exactly what the outcome is.
So that all goes off tomorrow as the Warriors then finally return home. They get a day off, and then here comes Klay Thompson and the Dallas Mavericks and Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic. Even without Klay Thompson, the Dallas Mavericks, a team that were somewhat of a surprise a year ago, going all the way to the Western Conference Finals, winning the finals, and then getting into the NBA Finals, and then clearly overmatched by that of the Boston Celtics and one of the better teams. Although, after nine games, just one game over the 500 mark at 5-4, but one of the better teams in the NBA and certainly out there in the West. So just to go back, and I know a lot of people were sort of, I dusted some things up when I said, listen, it's going to be a love fest, but because of the competitive nature of both Klay Thompson and specifically Draymond Green, that there something could flare up. You have no idea. And I think some people maybe know where I'm going with this. I'm a big fan of B. Diddy in that podcast of his where B. Diddy, I don't know how big or how big of a bong or just how big that fatty is that he smokes before he does that show with Draymond Green, but it's got to be epic proportions because it's just, I could just get a kick out of Baron Davis. And maybe he's completely sober, but he's not only insightful, but he makes me laugh. And one of their podcasts, again, this has probably been, I've been gone this week, so stop me if this has already been said and re-said, but in one of their podcasts earlier this year, there was a moment where Draymond Green's trainer, his name's Trav, I forget what his name is, was talking to Kyrie Irving, and Klay walked up, ignored, even though he knows Trav because he's Draymond Green's trainer and he was with the Warriors all last year, ignored Trav and told Kyrie, oh, you're talking to the ops. Don't be talking to the ops, meaning that anybody affiliated with the Warriors now is opposition. You're an enemy.
Right.
And there was some tongue-in-cheek in that, I suppose. But the next day, Draymond says, and I'm going to quote here, the next day I'm working out and now I'm talking to Kai, meaning Kyrie Irving, and sure enough, Klay walks up and says the same thing. Come on, Kai. You can't be talking to the ops, the opposition, meaning referencing Draymond Green. Klay at this point isn't even acknowledging Draymond Green. He goes right to Kyrie and says, don't talk to him. And this is what Draymond said. As soon as he said that, I told Trav, his trainer, now I'm going to run through his chest because there's some serious behind that joke. I know Klay. I've been playing on that same team with his brother for a long time, and I know how he thinks. There's a lot of seriousness to that statement, said Green. So I'm just saying, if you know Draymond Green, and you're being referred to as the enemy in the opposition now that we're no longer boys, that, you know, everybody, as proven by the greatest of all time, that being Michael Jordan and The Last Dance, you're always looking for incentive, right, when you get into a basketball game. And you're looking to incentivize yourself, even though you guys are generally good with each other and friends after the game. But you're looking for that little, sort of to put you over the top. And that might be what's going on here with Draymond and Klay. And it may get a little bit uncomfortable for a lot of people that just anticipate this as being a hug fest.
Which, I love that. I love, and let's not, you know, let's draw a line in the sand and say no one wants there to be this Rudy Gobert, you know, altercation, but I love the fact that Klay Thompson takes basketball this seriously. This is his job. This is what he's paid to do, paid millions of dollars to do. And I don't know about you, Dan, and I understand in the social media age, everyone's friends and it is kumbaya and, you know, off the court, everything's okay. And on the court, it's okay. But sometimes I like beef. You know, sometimes you want to see the opposition, the opposing team, and your team get into it. You want to see these people take this game so seriously that they look for any competitive advantage over the other one. There is a classic story of Kobe Bryant getting Allen Iverson to leave the club and go shoot hoops, only for Kobe to send a different driver, Kobe not even be at their arena, just to get AI out of the club and make him tired the next day at like 2 in the morning. Like, Kobe looked for any advantage he could, and while Klay and Kobe aren't the same and it's very different in this case, I love that Klay has the edge he does. Now, sometimes it's a little too much, and when he has bad games, it kind of crosses the line into getting a little more emotional than looking for the advantage, but I love the competitiveness of Klay Thompson. I think that that is what more players need today. I don't want to see, whether it's the Niners or the Giants or the Warriors, I don't want to see them being friends with the team you're trying to beat. After the game's over, fine, dab up, be cool. But when that game starts, when the tip-off happens, when the kickoff happens, when the first pitch happens, I want to see you fool systems go thinking, I want to crush my opponent. I want to dunk and hit threes every which way possible. I want to make the opponent know and feel my presence on defense continually as well. So I get there's limitations to Klay's game, and obviously he's the ops now to the Golden State Warriors. I do love there is this serious kind of competitive nature now, which should be a fun rivalry going forward this year.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I think Klay Thompson's old school in that regard. Yeah, I make a lot of money. Everybody makes a lot of money, but I'm still, at my core, want to beat the brakes off of you. I want to score, and I want to win. That's why he's a champion. That's why Draymond Green was a champion. They're very sort of, fundamentally, that's the way the game was played back in the day, back when I was growing up. And that's why you had rivalries back in the day, which is sort of absent in the NBA right now. First of all, because the NBA is so transient that players go from team to team that you can't really get that sort of, like, one team is the Lakers, the other team are the Boston Celtics, and this personnel really wouldn't change over the next, 5 to 7 years. And it's the same players that are going up against each other in the NBA Finals. But there really was a dislike, I think, for one another. And there was just this, I wouldn't go as far as to call it hatred, but you don't see that a lot any longer. I mean, Joe Mazzulla, and I know he's somebody that doesn't get a lot of credit because a lot of people feel as though, well, I could have coached the Boston Celtics a year ago and won a title. But Joe Mazzulla, I think, to me, is an underrated coach. He may rub a lot of people the wrong way, but he's actually, and I think, a good coach. And the reason why I bring up Joey Mazz is that, I don't know if you heard his quote earlier this year, but he said that there needs to be more fighting in the NBA. I wouldn't go that far.
But
the point he's trying to make, no, he was being literal, that there needs to be more fights. He wants to see guys throw down. And I think the point he's trying to make, and I think it's sort of to compound what it is that you were talking about, that because of the money that everybody's making, and the fact that these guys all know each other, whether it's attributed going back to AAU ball or college, that there isn't really that fierce competition. Because at the end of the day, I'm going home with 15, 20 mil a year, some players upwards to 35, 40 mil. And so, we can, let's talk before the game, maybe hang out, go to a club after the game. And I think once in a while when you see somebody like that of a Klay Thompson, who is somewhat of an outlier, in that he's old school in this regard, that it really doesn't matter. At the end of the day, he wants to win, and he wants to be better than you. And that
the holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
That's why I think the stage is set for something maybe, just maybe a little atypical of a great player going back to his former team, which we've seen sporadically throughout sports, that because he's such a competitor and because he felt though he was done wrong, that again, I don't want to belabor this point, that it could be, you know, there could be some fireworks that maybe nobody anticipated. But I do think it lends to an interesting point that there isn't really sort of the rivalries you see any longer. And the worst thing, as a fan, I hate to get a taste of, and this happens in baseball, where you see guys, they're dapping each other up, and they're in conversations in the batting cage, and they're on opposing teams. And you're like, these guys, do they really not really care who wins or loses this game? Their paycheck gets cashed regardless. And it's nice to know from time to time that this, just getting back to all of us at our earliest stages in life, as kids growing up, I played sports out on the streets in baseball, football, basketball, whatever, yeah. And you just wanted to win. You just wanted to beat the other team. And you want to know that that's still part of the fabric of sports going forward. And I think Klay Thompson, as well as Draymond Green, they sort of embody that.
Well, and it doesn't stop there, right? DeMar DeRozan said this on his podcast recently, that about 85% of the NBA, to his estimation, they don't care about the outcome of the game. They have their money, and they're fine. That they don't care as much about the outcome or winning and losing. They know that their life's made and they're set. But you have these old school players like DeMar and like Klay Thompson that have kind of grown up watching a different era of basketball, which I don't think anyone is against players being friends. We're all for that. You know, off the court, be fine. But when, again, you're inside those white lines, this is different. Go back to when you were a kid and I was a kid, Dan, albeit very different generations. This idea that when you're playing your friend off the court, on the court, you want to show you're better. You want to show you are, you have a notch above them when it comes to whether it's shooting hoops or playing basketball or playing football, whatever it may be. You wanted to have the advantage and hold that over their head. That way you can talk trash when you're off the court and have a good time doing it. So I love that. Well, I don't think it'll come to blows or whatnot. I do think that Klay and I'm sure Draymond and Steph, they'll probably have a meal off the court the night before or whatever, whenever they get in. But I'm sure Klay and Draymond and crew would all agree, as soon as that ball's tipped off, we're not friends. We are enemies. We are opponents. And that's how it's going to be. That's what both of those teams need their players to have, that mentality of, oh, look, we can be cool off the court, but as soon as we're inside and the ball's tipped off, we're not friends. We're not talking nice and kind, and you know, we're going to talk trash, and we're going to have fun. We're going to be physical and be brooding, and all these things you need to have that championship caliber. You know, we talk about gold-blooded. Klay has that gold blood. Steph and Draymond both have that gold blood. That's what makes and separates the good from the greats and the greats from the elites. And Klay has that in him alongside Draymond and Stephen Curry.
Well, I have to fully confess that I have a lot of friends that I played, especially basketball, with. When I was growing up, there were parks where you would go play hoops. And
right,
if I didn't play well or somebody got over on me in terms of I didn't win many games, yeah, I wasn't very friendly afterwards. It wasn't like, no. I'll get you next time. I wasn't talking to people for – I could – clearly, I was that sort of guy. I wouldn't throw tantrums, but I was like, yeah, I don't want to talk to you for a week. Screw you. I mean, I took it to different levels. So I didn't have a lot of maturity back in the day. But yeah, point well taken. I think that you just don't see a lot of this sort of the heated rivalry. I mean, who in the NBA really dislikes one another in terms of teams? I know the Warriors and maybe the Celtics and the fans certainly are into it. But yeah, I don't know that you can necessarily find the sort of the distaste teams used to have for one another. And it wasn't whether it was the Bad Boys, the Detroit Pistons back in the day where everybody was pointing a finger at them. I mean, there were a lot of not only rivalries with teams, but with players that certainly player and player didn't like one another. It seems to be absent from the sport. And maybe that's what Joey Mazz and Joe Mazzulla was referring to, that maybe bringing fighting back might be a little extreme, but to have that sort of competitive nature maybe needs to be infused back into the sport. Just to get back to the Warriors and the style of play. So, again, I think fundamentally, maybe you and I differ on this a little bit, that I get it, that the NBA, you need star power to win. Although Draymond Green will remind people that it's not necessarily about the stars and the starting five, especially he says this when you get to the postseason. It's 6 through 10. It's 6 through 10 when you get to the postseason in the NBA. That's who's going to determine who's going to win titles or who's going to, you know, who's going to advance, survive and advance, as they like to say. He almost says like the starting five sort of cancel themselves out because they all have stars. It's 6 through 10. And in the case of the Warriors, it's 6 through 13. And I think that to me is really the remedy because they lack the star power. And the NBA has always been about who's on the floor, who are your best players, and are your best players better than our best players? And that's oftentimes just sort of the extent of the NBA is that you need stars, and there's no way of disguising it. You can't hide it. But the Warriors, again, might be sort of this team that is starting sort of a different temple in terms of how to win. Now with sort of the financial guardrails and restraints that have been put into place with the second aprons, that you just can't go out and spend all this money and really sort of just, you know, handicap yourself or just be a team that is just, you know, mortgage the future on one play and is hamstrung because all this money is allocated to one or two or three players, like the Warriors were a year ago with $70 million dedicated to Klay Thompson and to Chris Paul, that you've got to disperse that. And the other thing that I think that just from a thought process, and I know I'm trying to pretend like your mic is broken, which it's not. It's just I'm long-winded here, but there's a guy by the name of Nolan Richardson. I'm going to give you, it's time for Uncle Danny's lessons here, Sterling. So pull up a chair and take out your number two pencil. Strolling Nolan Richardson. You ever heard of Strolling Nolan Richardson? He used to be the head coach of the University of Arkansas when Arkansas was a good team. They won two national titles back in the 90s. They would go to Final Fours under Strolling Nolan. You know what Strolling Nolan Richardson, what the little tagline he had on his teams? Because they didn't really have a star at the collegiate level. There wasn't any Magic Johnson or there wasn't any sort of like that, you know, I'm trying to, Zion Williamson at Duke. It was called 40 Minutes of Hell. 40 Minutes of Hell. What did they do? Is they brought everything in the kitchen sink defensively at you, and they brought numerous guys. It was 40 minutes of hell, and that's the way they approached every game. It was a winning ingredient. I'm just curious if we can channel our Nolan Richardson, who is no longer with us, RIP, if Nolan Richardson can once again resurface in 2024 and bring back it would be 48 minutes of hell, where the Golden State Warriors just bring in fresh body after fresh body and defensively just suffocating the hell out of you. Could that be a winning formula in today's NBA?
It'd certainly be fun. Well, maybe not fun to watch, and it wouldn't be fun for the opposing teams if they can execute that. But it's funny, we've talked about these long rotations, 12, 13 players, smothering defense just now with Nolan Richardson out of Arkansas back in the 90s, like you mentioned.
Oh, he's still alive, by the way. Let's not bury people prematurely.
Very presumptive RIP from you.
82 years of age. Happy birthday, Nolan.
But it's funny that, or maybe ironic, who they're playing tomorrow night. A team that is very deep, that plays good defense, that scores points, that, like you said, and what your mindset or the way you want to go forward with the Warriors roster construction is, it's youth, but it's youth that you ingrain in your culture, ingrain in your system, and then they grow from there. And it's kind of this inward-out approach where we can get these guys in here and establish the culture and establish how we play and let them grow. In 3 or 4 years, they'll become stars. Now you have, you know, SGA and Jalen Williams and Chet Holmgren and Aaron Wiggins and Lou Dort and Isaiah Joe and Cason Wallace, and you have all these players in OKC. Alex Caruso's now there, where they're not acquiring stars. They're compiling draft picks to continue to build what they're doing in OKC. And, you know, while I do think for the Golden State Warriors currently, if they want to maximize Stephen Curry and Draymond Green's kind of final years of their career, I think it would be worthwhile to go and acquire a star like Giannis Antetokounmpo or somebody else. But to your point, you know, maybe there is a change. That with a team like OKC, you kind of set the standard of, let's trade Paul George and Russell Westbrook and Chris Paul and company. We'll get, feels like, a million draft picks in return, and we'll just build this puppy in-house. And we'll hit on some guys, we'll miss on some guys. When we hit, we're going to hit these stars, and we're going to have seven of these guys ready to go continually. Maybe that's the way to go, but unfortunately, I don't think the Warriors and OKC are in the exact same place philosophy-wise currently in the NBA.
All right, we continue. Let's preview and get you ready for that big OKC matchup. Why? Because it gives me an opportunity. Cam, if we can find this, I want to go back to 2016, which is my, I think I speak for a lot of people, my favorite Curry moment, and there's been a lot to pick from, but when he hit back in February, it was 2016, I want to say, he hit that game winner from the logo, and there was Mike Breen on the call. Curry, way downtown, bang, bang. We're going to bring back the bang, bang. We're going to go bang, bang. When we continue here on 95.7 The Game, I want to play that clip for you. Also talk a little bit more about OKC and can the Golden State Warriors actually finish this road swing 4-1. 3-2 certainly is something that I think a lot of people would have taken, but 4-1, well, we'll discuss. We'll wrap up the show with my man Sterling Bennett and Cam Williams and Dan Devon. Warriors this week, final half hour is around the corner.
Goes to Jackson Davis with three, with two. Wiggins drops the ball, picks it up, steps out. Deep three on the way. Good for Wiggins. And that silences an 18-0 run for the Cavaliers. Wiggins didn't have time to think about that. Just shoot it.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
It is the final half hour. Sterling Bennett, Dan Devone, Cam Williams producing today as the Golden State Warriors lose to the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Cavaliers go to 10-0. The last time a team got off to an undefeated start like this, you have to go back to the Golden State Warriors and that 24-0 start to a campaign in which Luke Walton coached the majority of those wins. That was when, if you recall, Steve Kerr was out with that bad back. But the Cavaliers have certainly made a name for themselves, and this isn't anything new. This is a team that was besieged with injuries of a year ago, but they went into the second round of the playoffs, and so they get the perfect coach in Kenny Atkinson. It's a, as I talked about, a tremendous balance with an inside-out game. The presence of the rim protectors and the athletes that they have, and Allen along with Mobley, and then the shooters with Darius Garland, and this guy Dean Wade, and of course we know what Donovan Mitchell can do. So a perfect storm where the Cavaliers were well-rested, ready to go, and the Golden State Warriors on game four of a five-game road trip in which they wrap up tomorrow against Oklahoma City. So, Sterling, my man.
Yes.
Any excuse for me to play that bang, bang from 8 years ago, which we're going to get into in a matter of moments, but do you have a favorite Steph Curry? And by the way, for any of those in the final moments here, if you have a Steph Curry moment that you want to share with us, either call or text 888-957-9570. But Sterling Bennett from the Red Planet, what is your favorite Steph Curry moment?
My favorite Steph Curry moment, albeit it's not against the Oklahoma City Thunder, actually goes back a couple years when they were playing the Knicks, Madison Square Garden, when Stephen Curry broke the three-point record. Now, obviously in itself, historical. It is a capping off of the greatest three-point shooter of all time in NBA history and what he's done throughout his entire career and still doing to this day with the Golden State Warriors. But selfishly for myself, that highlight almost didn't air over the airwaves of 95.7 The Game. And the reason why it's my favorite is because of what was happening behind the scenes with the radio and whatnot. So to give people kind of some insight into what happens behind the glass, we connect to Madison Square Garden. We have the engineers at MSG and whatnot, and we're all kind of waiting around, okay, how's this going to work? And the connection's going in and out all throughout pregame, and we're sitting back like, we may not get Curry's highlight if it doesn't play. And I go to our wonderful boss, Matt Dehesian, and I'm like, hey, Matt, like, we don't have a backup for tonight. This may not play. So we're sitting there with the Knicks on the phone in case the radio goes out, and I can pod up the phone. So all you hear is the dial tone, and then it clicks on, and the radio is on it. So we were sitting there, bated breath, holding on by a string, and thankfully the radio and the connections all worked out, and figured itself out over the air and whatnot. But that radio call almost did not play over the airwaves 95.7 The Game. And if it didn't, and if the radio went out, it was going to be a phone version of that highlight. We repeated over and over and over again. But thankfully, things played itself out perfectly.
And of course, Sterling Bennett, who for years was the guy behind the scenes that made it all happen as the producer of Warrior Basketball. And I had no idea. I had no idea that one of the most momentous, if not right at the top of the list in terms of the accolades for Steph Curry, almost was a complete debacle here.
It would have been phone calls and yells and screams, and it would have been not fun. But thankfully the weather was good and everything worked itself out because we were all a little worried. This is not going to go well for us.
When I was doing, I did a little play-by-play, and as a very young man, one of the first games I did were for the Chaminade Silver Swords in Honolulu, Hawaii. Hi, good everybody, and welcome to, I forget the name of that gymnasium. It sat about, I don't know, 40 people. But I used to do Chaminade basketball, and they were playing North Carolina State, which for them, they had a big tournament out in Hawaii every year. But same thing, we had radio issues, and they had to do it via phone, and I did the whole game on a rotary phone. I was holding the receiver, talking into this thing, calling a play-by-play contest. But my favorite Steph Curry moment. Cam, are we ready? Without further ado, bring it home.
They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry! With 0.6 seconds remaining. Brilliant shooting of Stephen Curry continues. And he ties the NBA record with his 12th three-pointer of the game.
That was it. That, in a lot of ways, because it was significant, no one was shooting from the logo like that.
No.
Now you get guys who launch like that. You know, Dame Lillard, I didn't want to say was in the league at the time, but that, he just, again, and we know this, we talk about it, how they changed the sport, but nobody shot from distance like that. And of course, I'm referring to, that wasn't even a playoff game. That was a regular season game in February back in 2016 when the Warriors are still making a name for themselves. And he launched that thing on a nationally televised contest in the closing seconds. And I remember when he released it in a weird way, because we hadn't seen shots like that by an NBA basketball player, aside from that of somebody throwing, you know, a Hail Mary at the end of a shot clock or the end of a game. And that wasn't as though he had to throw it up. That was sort of like the design shot. He had some time to sort of get a little bit closer, but it was the comfort with which he shot it, and it was one of those that you felt as a Warrior fan that's very, very, very much within his range. And when he knocked that thing down, there was just, I think it just sort of changed the landscape. And the Warriors, that's exactly what the Warriors did as far as bringing this brand of basketball to that of the NBA and shooting threes. Not only shooting threes, but shooting threes well, well beyond the arc or the stripe, as they like to refer to it.
Well, Stephen Curry, despite being as old as he is nowadays and, you know, being very much a decade plus into his NBA career, he still is one of those players that as soon as he crosses half court, you just, you know, DEFCON 5, all alerts are up. Just be ready to go, because he will fire that sucker from anywhere. And I think he really is you know, yes, he's the most lethal shooter in the NBA, in the entire history of the NBA. But even now, when he's in his mid-30s and it's the expected he'll slow down, Father Time obviously is undefeated, but Steph still has some of those bang, bang still in him here and there, and you're just like, you continue to be wowed by a player like Stephen Curry almost every single game because he is so, so special.
Yeah, so the Warriors, the reason why I was playing that is that's where the Warriors will be tomorrow. My favorite, the place where it all went down, to my favorite Steph Curry moment. OKC is the Golden State Warriors look to close out the 5-game road trip either at 4-1 or they'll come back at 3-2. Either way, it's a winning road swing for the Warriors who, as we had talked about, now getting tested against some of the best teams in the NBA. And all the action, by the way, can be heard right here on 95.7 The Game. I do want to talk about, just for a moment, as we wrap up the show here in the closing moments, sort of the playoff system as it is currently in the NBA. Because right now, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. When you think about it, like, they got to go 1 through 16. And I just happened to be looking at this while I was looking up, you know, the best teams in the NBA, and obviously the Cavaliers at 10-0, and I wanted to find out where the Thunder are. They're at 8-1, but sir, clearly the I don't know. You could, right now, maybe the Cavaliers are playing the best basketball in the NBA. I still think that the best team in the NBA is OKC, but check back with me in a couple of months. But the playoffs as currently constructed, do you know the Cavaliers at 10-0? And then the Celtics, which lost their second game at the hands of the Warriors just the other night, are 8-2. After that, it's the Knicks 4-4. It's the Hornets are the 4 seed at 4-5. It's the Brooklyn Nets at 4-5. My point is, the Detroit Pistons are at 4-6 and very much in the hunt of things. The Orlando, all these teams, the Atlanta Hawks, well under 500, would get into the playoffs if they were to end today. Meanwhile, in the Western Conference, you've got, it is such a tale of two completely different stories, where the Suns are 8-1, the Thunder 8-1, the Warriors 7-2, T-Wolves 6-3, Nuggets are 6-3, you got the Grizzlies, the Rockets all over 500, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Mavericks, the defending Western Conference champs. There's about four of those teams that would not get into the postseason. Meanwhile, Charlotte, Brooklyn, and Atlanta would make the playoffs despite playing inferior basketball. Your thoughts?
Well, it's kind of gone back to when LeBron James was in Cleveland and in Miami, where they're just running the Eastern Conference, and it was like maybe the Raptors and at times the Celtics and at times the Hawks that were competitive, but nobody ever
such
really
a bad
took
East.
That next step, and it was terrible. It was like that was one of the biggest knocks on LeBron's run in the Eastern Conference. Like, who are you playing that's worth a damn, right? Yeah, can they reseed stuff, but I'm assuming the NBA was expecting more from Philadelphia and more from Milwaukee, which you hope, if those two teams are above 500, okay, they're the third and fourth seed. Like, the Knicks are going to be well above 500 once the year's over with, barring injury, and, you know, you're always going to have some of those below 500 teams squeak in with the play-in tournament and whatnot, but with the way things are headed as of right now, with the Western Conference being so stacked, that kind of feeds into where we were talking about before the year started in regards to this is going to be a tough ride for the Golden State Warriors to be inside that top six, right? You have Memphis 6-4, and I get it's only 10 games, so this is all going to change once the year's over with, but you know, the Rockets are kind of on the come up. They're young, they're explosive, they're kind of putting things together. The Kings are always giving the Warriors a hard time. The Mavericks are only 5-4 and whatnot. They'll get hot eventually. So, you know, for as impressive as the Warriors' start has been at 7-2, it's almost imperative they've begun the season like this to stay afloat and keep ahead of teams like the Nuggets and the T-Wolves and the Lakers and the Rockets. They need to continue this, and they needed this hot stretch more than anybody else, I think, in the Western Conference to make the playoffs this year.
Kind of like that 18-2 start of a couple of years back where the Warriors really needed that buffer to get through.
Honestly, you look at what they've done this year, and I was diving into some of the stats last night. Last year, the Warriors did not get 5 games above 500 until March 1st against the Raptors. They're already 5 games above it right now. Last year, it took them until November 20th, 11 days later than they are now, to win 7 games. This is the hottest start since 18-2 in 2021-2022 season. This really has been the best the Golden State Warriors have looked, arguably, in the last two or three seasons.
And the big question remains, is it sustainable? I think one of those, at least, it went a long way in terms of answering that, was the win against Boston. I think that, again, from a national perspective, people stood up and took notice. Like, what's going on out in the Bay Area? Are they back? Has Steve Kerr done it again with a different way within, you know, soon to be 37 Steph and Draymond now with, you know, the gray beard, literally? Is this a Warrior team that's a bunch of smoke and mirrors? Like, what's happening here? And I think that they really opened the eyes of the country with what was their most significant win. The question still is that you need to see more. I know that, you know, I'd like to give you a quote-unquote better take than that, but it's difficult to drink the Kool-Aid, but there just seems viability here. If I was to say, because last year they got off to a 5-1 start, Sterling, remember? And even at the time, I just felt, you get the sense that it was a bit of a bubble. It was just, yeah, it's 5-1, but really? Is this legitimate? There seems to be a little bit more credibility with this. Now, again, I think the takeaway from the Cavalier game is that the Warriors just simply can't mail it in and win games like they did back in the day, where you're on a long road trip and you're on the back end and you're just going to be low energy. That's just life in the NBA. But the Warriors were so good that they could still win, or at least make a game competitive like that against a team similar to like that of the Cleveland Cavaliers, a very good team. The Warriors could win those games, or at least be in it in the closing moments, just simply because even not at their best and firing on all cylinders, they were still a very, very good team. I think the takeaway for me after last night is, can they afford not to have that sort of high energy, the complete buy-in, the blitzing like they had against the Boston Celtics, the ability to create turnovers, to suffocate, to get that offense going. In order to do that, there's got to be energy. There's got to be high level of intensity, and you have to bring that every game. Well, unfortunately, in the NBA, it's just not going to be there. And that could be a downfall of this team going forward, unless, of course, you want to buy into Nolan Richardson and his 40 minutes of hell, and 48 minutes of hell as it relates to the Golden State Warriors. But that, to me, is the concern, because make no bones about it, that as much as we want to pay attention to shooters and we want to talk about Steph Curry playing alongside GP2 getting inserted into the starting lineup and how clunky and awkward that was, all of this starts on the defensive end for the Warriors this year. It always has, but this year put an asterisk next to it. Even more so in 2024, it's all about defense. It's all about bodies. It's all about fresh guys. It's all about new waves. It's all about different fives coming in and setting the tone defensively, and then having enough Steph Curry, enough Buddy Hield, enough Jonathan Kuminga to get it done on the offensive end. But in order to play defense at that level, there's got to be high intensity. And as was proven last night, that's not always going to be the case in the NBA.
And I think that kind of feeds into why we're seeing 12 to 13 man rotations, deep rotations. One, to keep guys fresh, to keep that high intensity throughout the game. That, okay, you know, if Curry's tired or Kuminga's not cutting it, we have three other guys that can fill in and hopefully do a job and keep our older players fresh. But also, some guys are going to be checked out on certain nights, and if they're going to be checked out, you're not going to play much. Hence why you have 12, 13 guys to help you out and hopefully, you know, keep the momentum rolling throughout. And I think we talked earlier about starting lineups and GP2 and this, that, and the other, and how getting a second shooter in the lineup to start games is important for this team's offensive output. Whereas, while I agree with that point, I think what they've been able to do, it really is relying on Buddy Hield and Andrew Wiggins to help, and even Jonathan Kuminga last night, although they lost, to, okay, you can pick us up offensively on certain nights, but we need to make sure that from the get-go our defense is straightened up and buttoned up and zipped up, ready to go, because we know we don't really have the shooting to outscore or outgun, if you will, opposing offenses. Like, the odds the Golden State Warriors beat the Celtics with Jaylen Brown are lesser than they were or without him. So, you know, the Warriors, although maybe got, I wouldn't say lucky, it definitely helps not have the opposing team's second-best player out there offensively, but you can tell this team, knowing they don't have that number two scorer, number two shooter, that they have to play better defense, and they are. They're a top five defensive team in the NBA currently, and right now with what they're doing, Steve Kerr's almost had a masterclass so far through nine games, and last night probably being the worst coach game of the year for him, but it's one game of the two they've lost. You point back and you're like, man, what are they thinking? But overall, it's been relatively, you know, an A-plus thus far from the Golden State Warriors on both sides of the ball.
Who do you think, and I know Jonathan Kuminga immediately surfaces, but if, because in order for this to work, even Draymond to a certain degree is you know, he's going to get less minutes. Aside from Steph, and it's good to see Steph not playing and exceeding 30 minutes every game, because obviously when you think about this long term, you want Steph to have fresh legs should you make a run in the postseason.
Right.
But aside from Steph, could there be somebody, and Steph obviously isn't problematic, could it be, I should say, aside from Jonathan Kuminga, could there be somebody that this could get problematic, that I need to get more run or be a bit disgruntled? Maybe the body language isn't there, because at the end of the day, these are NBA players and they want to get their run. Is there somebody that doesn't have, quote unquote, the buy-in? And maybe that could be, if it's one or two guys, that could create some disharmony in the locker room, if you will.
Again, without picking Jonathan Kuminga, it's kind of hard because he's been one to do that, right? Been upset with his minutes in previous years, gone to Steve Kerr and gone to the brass and Golden State and been like, look, play me or trade me, right? And that's kind of been a large story, you know, a large part of his story in Golden State. And that's kind of why they haven't re-signed him yet to a big contract and you're figuring out his future. But like, nobody else really strikes me as a player that would make it an issue of not playing as much. Maybe you get into a conversation about Moses Moody. He just got paid, but he wasn't playing much last year.
Yeah, and I think Moses Moody is he's the poster child. He's like, if he hasn't complained up to this point, he's like, the hell with it. This is my role going forward. And he's the one guy who could probably tell everybody else, hey, listen, man, this is how we play basketball. Just ask me.
Get in line, right? So, you can maybe, but he's starting now. Andrew Wiggins, at times he looks very checked out, and there's been this ebbs and flows to his career, and the last couple of years have been off the court issues that kind of plagued him. But when you talk about a player that the Warriors need to be checked in the majority of their games this year, if they want to win playoff games, or if you get lucky, go to the NBA Finals, it's Wiggins. Because he is your best two-way player, arguably, on the entire team. He can score you 18 a night, and he can play two-way defense for you and lock down the opposing team's best offensive player. My only concern is that with this 12 to 13 man rotation, it may lead Wiggins to be more prone to slip into the ebbs and flows and kind of take a back seat, but not in the way you want him to Curry and Draymond, you know, being the stars of the team, but taking a back seat into kind of implementing or inserting himself into the game as it kind of goes. One thing with him is that sometimes he just gets lost and kind of just reserves himself as like, I'll let the game come to me, whereas you want this more adamant and assertive Andrew Wiggins. That is kind of the one player you'd point to and say that this deep rotation could lead to that being an issue for him.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that when you think about this Warriors team, they're all role players. So it's not as though you're disrespecting anybody, because they all basically know. I mean, this is sort of how their career has gone when it comes to De'Anthony Melton, Kyle Anderson, and certainly when you're thinking about Lindy Waters and even Moses Moody and GP2, you got to play well to earn your minutes. Otherwise, you're going to come off the floor. And so that's basically how they've cut their teeth in the NBA. This is who they are. And I think it's clearly buy-in on that part. It gets a little bit dicey, and I'm with you. I think that there are a couple of players that you could say, okay, if this is going to work, put a circle around Jonathan Kuminga and Andrew Wiggins. Like, you know what you're getting out of Draymond, and you know what you're getting out of Steph. And then the rest of the guys are all like, listen, Well, we're more than happy to earn minutes. If I'm Lindy Waters, I'm just happy to get an NBA paycheck. And I think that they can all buy in, and they'll do whatever it takes to stay on the floor, including Pajemski. But I think that Wiggins, just because he's got to be a guy that when Steph isn't feeling it from outside, or the offense gets stagnant and you need to score another way, in other words, somebody who can just get to the rim and take you off the dribble, he's one of two guys, him and Jonathan Kuminga, that can create their own. And he's also proven he's a veteran. He's 29 years of age. He's in the sweet spot. He has got to be a reliable scorer, as he was 2 years ago, and a guy that you can count on that's going to give you double-digit minutes every single night. You cannot afford this year, with all the moving pieces and going 13 deep and trying to find somebody that's going to complement Steph and Buddy Hield, I might mention, but he has got to prove that this isn't just a hot start. And when we say we're holding our breath, it's not only because is this experiment, if you will, with running 13 dudes, getting, you know, serious run, is this going to work? But also, is it going to work long-term, specifically with Andrew Wiggins? Is Andrew Wiggins going to be a guy from beginning to end, be the sort of player we've seen in the first month of the season? Because whether it's personal absences of physically leaving the team, or even when he's on the team, this dude just has a tendency to check out. That's who he's been with in Minnesota, and that's essentially who he's been with the Golden State Warriors. What Andrew Wiggins are you going to get? Can Andrew Wiggins buy in for an entire season? I think goes a long way into determining just how good or bad this team will be.
When that goes into, if they want to play small ball, and they're going to need Wiggins and Kuminga to be that. And you saw last night, this team walked into Cleveland shooting 39% from three, the fourth best clip in the NBA, and they left shooting 30% on the box score. When that happens, when Curry's not having a great game offensively, you need, like you said, Wiggins or Kuminga to step up. And, you know, funny enough, they play the exact same position. They are the interchangeable pieces in the rotation currently. When Wiggins comes out, Kuminga comes in, right? That's what they do, and they are going to be the most important, not just positional group for the Golden State Warriors, but the kind of 1-2 punch they need to pick them up offensively. Kuminga picked them up last night. Think Kuminga got to the bucket, got some fouls, hit some threes too. Wiggins kind of just faded away into the background. When Curry struggles early, and if you're not going to start the second shooter like Melton or Pajemski, whoever it is, with Curry in that starting five, you got to have Wiggins assert himself into the offensive lineup and hopefully pick them up along the way.
All right, let's plug a couple of shows. I got the 49ers pregame show tomorrow. Me and Lorenzo Neal. We'll see you at 8 in the morning, 8 to 10. Take you right up until kickoff, and then go ahead, talk to us what's happening after the game.
Yeah, tomorrow after the Niners hopefully beat the Buccaneers, me and Kyle Mattson will have you covered from the end of the game all the way to 3 o'clock with overtime, reacting, taking your calls, then leading into the Golden State Warriors game against the OKC Thunder with Cam Williams behind the board and Mark Grandy with pre- and post-game tomorrow night.
There, you're all set. Starts at 8 in the morning with me and Lo. Stay with us throughout the entire afternoon, capping it off with the Warriors and OKC. For my man Sterling Bennett from the Red Planet and Cam Williams, this is Dan Devone. Until tomorrow, saying enjoy the rest of the day, everyone. So long.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.